Welcome out to Hideaway Pizza, downtown Bartlesville. Evan Farbach, Bartlesville head football coach Lee Blankenship with you on a Wednesday evening, 1400 AM, K1 FM 93.3. Of course, you can always find us online, bartlesvilleradio.com, and on the Bartlesville radio app. Bruins getting set for their final game of 2018. Bartlesville will travel to Shawnee, Oklahoma. A 7:30 kickoff on Friday. If you did not hear that earlier this week, that game has been moved to 7:30 on Friday, and we welcome in Coach Blankenship. I would assume, and of course I shouldn't do that as a journalist, I guess, that that's probably being moved so some Bartians can get down there in time for the kickoff. Is that an accurate statement?
Well, sure, we'll call it that if that's what okay. We want to go with. No, all of their home games have been at 7:30.
Oh, really?
This year.
Okay.
Yep. That's something that that they have wanted to do. I guess the district previously had an agreement, from what I understood, that all of the games would be a 7 p.m. kickoff. And I guess this year coming in, I'm a new guy too, and didn't realize that either. But coming in, they just kept their normal 7:30 kickoff time.
Yeah, that'll be the first district game Bartlesville has played at 7:30 in at least five seasons now. I had said that earlier because. The only other 7:30 games outside of, I think, Owosso that the Bruins have played the last 5 years were against McAllister. Played a home game and a road game against McAllister at 7:30. I guess it was the last couple of years, I think, and that was only because of such a driving distance. And obviously, it's going to be the longest road trip of the year, 2 hours and 15 minutes. And it'll be kind of a trek down there. I haven't looked to see what route they have us take, but certainly looking forward to getting down there playing against Shawnee. I think it's a natural grass surface. Is that
it
accurate?
Is, yeah. It's the only grass field we'll play on all season.
So that'll be kind of an interesting change up as well. So a couple new things. Of course, we'll have the play-by-play broadcast right here on K1 7 o'clock pregame with a 7:30 kick here on K1. So looking forward to the Wolves and the Bruins, and win are likely to be the fifth place in the district. And obviously, four wins would be something to hang your hat on after Bartlesville only lost one game a season ago. We got some time to talk about the Wolves later on in the program. Bruins coming off a 39-22 loss against Muskogee last week. And Coach, a ball game where, you know, you look at that Ponca City game a couple of weeks ago. You guys won by 14. I think anyone that watched that probably knows it wasn't quite a 14-point ball game. It was a little bit closer than that. Same thing, but in the opposite direction probably this last week against Muskogee. Lost by 17 points, but certainly Bartlesville spent the majority of that ball game in the lead, just kind of snowballed away from you tail end of the third quarter into the fourth quarter.
Yeah, you know, we got aggressive when we started getting towards the fourth quarter, and we tried to get aggressive to steal a possession back, and we faked a punt and we didn't get it. We went for it a couple of times on fourth down, just trying to keep the ball and continue the drive, knowing we had to score, and gave them the ball in with really good field position there late in the game, and they scored a couple of late ones on us.
Talking with Bartlesville head football coach Lee Blankenship here from Hideaway Pizza. As we mentioned, that 17-point loss to Muskogee last week was a ball game that you guys had the lead in until midway through the third quarter or so. First couple of touchdowns the Ruffers scored were not on offense. It was a pick six and then a kickoff return for a touchdown. And obviously in a ball game that was kind of close like that, you look back and the defense played so well to begin things. Couldn't quite find anything kind of consistent on offense. I know you talked about that at halftime during our interview. There was kind of feast or famine for a little bit, and you couldn't.
Sure.
You drove on them a couple times to begin that third quarter. Obviously, you got down within the 10-yard line. You had a fourth and goal from the two. Couldn't quite punch it in, and then offense got a little bit harder from that point. Just how do you kind of view the second half of that ball game?
You know, coming out of halftime, I believe we had a 14-6 lead.
That's right. Yep.
We kicked off to them and they ran, they broke one. They actually bounced it outside on us and ran around the edge and got a touchdown to start the second half. That really gave them a lot of momentum. I think that, what did that tie, did they go for, they got, went for two and got it maybe,
they
were, or did they not?
They didn't get it.
Yeah, they didn't get it. Okay,
14,
so that's right. We were still up 14-12, and then we got a little bit back. We got the safety right there on the, when the, had them backed up, and man, all I can remember, honestly, all I can remember about the game is going for it on fourth down. We had fourth and you know, fourth and one, fourth and a yard and a half, and we tried to get up, and I, it was my call. It's probably my fault. You know how you look back and go in hindsight, man, I probably made the wrong decision there. But our game plan was to just be aggressive, try to go fast, and we tried to run a quarterback sneak there on a, oh, I guess about, you know, the 45-yard line going in, and they stuffed us, and the momentum of the game kind of changed from there. But, man, I'm proud of our kids. You know, they our kids have battled all season long, and we just haven't come out on top in all the games. We really have gotten better. And just going out, you look at a year ago, and that was something that was something that we actually did talk about a little bit with our kids, and just to not be afraid of those guys. There was a big deficit in the game the year before, and the way our kids came out and battled so hard, had an opportunity to win the game right there. I was proud of that fight and that effort. And listen, as we get into our next offseason, have a great offseason program, get stronger. That's going to be one of our major goals, is to get stronger as a team. I think we'll be able to those fourth and ones, you know, that we say, hey, we're lining up and we're going. I think those will be a little bit more successful, hopefully, in the future after a year in our offseason.
Yeah, that was something that Jay and I talked a lot about in the post game on Friday. It was senior night, and we spend a great deal of the ball game talking about the seniors on senior night. You know, we'll come out and highlight them when they make a play, and obviously a lot of seniors made plays on Friday night, and then we'll go through the roster and kind of talk about each one and
yeah,
what they brought to the table. But as we were doing that on Friday night, you kind of noticed how many of the major contributors in this year's football team aren't seniors. And obviously, we'll have time, you know, over from after Friday through next August to talk about the 2018 Bartlesville football season. I don't want to recap it too much when there's still a game left. But there's a whole lot of talent out there, a whole lot of sophomores and juniors that are playing some pretty consistent, good football for you right now, and in your case, even a freshman on the offensive line on Friday night.
Yeah, Ridge Brewington, talking about that freshman, he's a young man that has been right there all year long. We've seen such great potential in him, and really working hard to just refine his game and make sure he's able to accomplish the little details of playing that position. But he got his first start on Friday night and played well, man. He's going to be a phenomenal player in the future. A lot of sophomores. Right next to Ridge is Colton Green, who's a sophomore up front. So yeah, a lot of sophomores, several juniors. My goodness, the first drive of the game, Nick Folks made another phenomenal catch. As he went across on the fade ball, he laid out for it and thought, man, that what a great catch he made. And just looking at him, that's a kid that hasn't played football in the past. And to see his progression and how much better he's gotten throughout the year, and now he's one of our go-to guys that's making great, you know, great big plays, great catches, great plays for us. And he's got another year with us. So there's a lot to be excited about. Again, we've got to have a great offseason. It's going to start there. And we'll see what happens next year. Our goal is still going to be the same, get a little bit better each week.
Bartlesville head football coach Lee Blankenship with us. We're in downtown Bartlesville at Hideaway Pizza. Now, Coach Blankenship's family has walked in, and your boys are dressed up as Woody and Buzz Lightyear. Who's who, if you could tell me who's
Yeah, who? So boys are looking good for Halloween.
Yeah, that's right.
We've got Clay in the Buzz Lightyear costume. He's our youngest. He's one. And then our oldest, Cole, the boys call him Rooster. He wanted to be the cowboy, so he's the he's 3 years old, and he's Woody. So they're pretty big Toy Story fans, and you know, thought it was appropriate little Halloween costume.
Yeah, absolutely. So we got a couple Blankenship boys as Woody and Buzz Lightyear here for Halloween. And obviously, if you're out and about this evening, make sure you drive safe to the neighborhoods and whatnot. What are their favorite Halloween candies? Do we have a go-to? What's your favorite Halloween candy?
Favorite Halloween candy? No. Do I look like a guy that's going to turn down any kind of candy? You can't go wrong with the traditional Snickers.
Yeah, sure.
I feel like, Evan, that's a pretty, you know, I'm a Twix man myself. Yeah. A good Kit Kat to change it up. Don't get me started talking about candy. I'm going to be eating my boy's candy after we trick-or-treat tonight.
Yeah.
I've got to mention my wife, too. She's dressed normal, but to me, that's just a hot babe, you know, is what she went as for.
Yep.
for Halloween.
Talking with Bartlesville head football coach Lee Blankenship here on his weekly radio show. This will be the final one, just so you know. We won't have a wrap-up one next week, so we'll kind of wrap up the program. Of course, if you keep it tuned here to K1 and our website, BartlesvilleRadio.com, we'll have a lot of kind of recap of the football season as we move throughout the year. I did want to kind of briefly go over what's going on with the district standings, because I've had some people ask me, and it is a little bit confusing because a little bit of a wrench got thrown into things. You kind of figured that Bartlesville wouldn't have a chance to tie for a playoff spot if the Bruins couldn't win against Muskogee, and of course came up a little bit short. But Sand Springs ended up upsetting Sepulpa, which
sure,
I guess isn't really all that surprising, as I've said all year, outside of Bixby, really, those next seven teams in the district are about as close as you can come.
Yeah.
Technically, if some really wonky things happen, Bartlesville can tie for fourth place in the district. The problem with the Bruins' playoff hopes in that scenario is you need Sand Springs to win, and Sand Springs has a big enough point advantage that if the Sandites win, in order to get that three-way tie, there's no way for Bartlesville to catch them in the points.
Yep, that's exactly right. I actually added that up on my board today, and just to be safe and see where we were, and plus the mighty Sandites are playing Booker T. Washington this week as well. So that's even if they won by 1 point, and we beat Sand Springs by 15, they would still have more district points.
And that goes to show you just how good that Sand Springs team is that you beat. That's a team that's 2-4, and I think they're only minus -6 in the point differential.
Yeah, that's right.
A team that's 2-4, that's pretty remarkable. That's a heck of a football team. It's going to end up with the same or worse district record than Bartlesville has.
Sure. Yeah, our district has been competitive this year. Even Ponca City, who doesn't have a district win, you know, that I think Muskogee beat them by 6 points.
Yeah.
They battled everybody that they played. They scored some points against Bixby. So the district is definitely competitive. You've got to bring your A game every single week and have to be ready to play and can't afford to make mistakes in our district for sure.
And it should be a pretty evenly matched ball game on Friday night when Bartlesville takes on Shawnee. Once again, we'll have kind of preview of that a little bit later on in the program. Player profile this evening, by the way, going to be Jalen Oliver. Excited to speak with him, Bartlesville senior wide receiver. Of course, he's a basketball player as well, but we'll be talking about Jalen's gridiron skills here in just a little bit on our player profile. You talked about the district. I wanted to mention when you were talking about Ponca City, Wildcats led Booker T. Washington at halftime on Friday. I don't know. I'm sure you may or may not have been aware of that.
No, I was not aware of that.
They were up on 7-0 on Booker T. Washington at half last Friday. Of course, the Hornets came back in the second half and ended up winning that by 20 or so, but
sure,
that was a ball game that we were watching, and you're thinking, man, there could all of a sudden be a really murky 2-4 position all of a sudden if Booker T. Washington lost a couple straight. And it's been kind of a wacky year in 6A2, and then Shawnee's a program that is making its jump to 6A for the first time since 2010-2011, and obviously, like I said, we'll talk about the Wolves a little bit later on, but that's been a big deal for that program. I was reading usually before the ball game, I'll try to scrounge together all the articles I can find on the opponent. And Shawnee was pretty displeased in getting bumped up to 6A2. That was a hit on their program. I think that they had like 3 or 4 starters quit because they didn't want to mess with going to 6A.
Wow.
That was a 7-win team in 5A a year ago.
Sure.
It was a program that actually had won like 9 and then 8 games in back-to-back seasons in 2008-2009. Then when they got bumped to 6A, of course, which was all one division, in 2010-2011, they went 4-16. So it really kind of decimated them for a couple of seasons. So I think that town is awful wary of getting bumped up to 6A. Of course, 6A2 is a little bit different. They're not having to play Jinx or Broken Arrow or anything anymore. But as you talked about, this is a district where even Ponca City, there's no real pushovers. You guys had some quality matchups week in, week out since that early to middle part of September.
Yeah, no doubt about it. It's a jump. It really is. I think Shawnee's got some good history. I think they were state champions in 5A maybe in the early to mid 2000s.
Yes.
And, you know, they do a good job. Their kids aren't a lot different than our kids. They are kind of a blue-collar type of of a team, and have good athletes. Nobody that's just going to play Division I football probably, or anybody that's highly recruited, but they play hard, and that's always something that's dangerous. And Ponca City's not much different. That goes to show you just a group of kids that show up and they play hard. Last week when Ponca City was up on Booker T, yeah. That's not surprising because we've seen how hard those kids play.
I did want to talk a little bit about some more positives from Friday night. Tom Beard, obviously, 3 touchdowns through the air from Ben Winters, accounted for all of your touchdowns on Friday evening in that loss to Muskogee. And, I think of him more as a defensive back, maybe just because the last couple of years that's where he's played almost primarily. But, he had missed 3 games with that leg injury. He comes back, and you almost forget about how big of a difference he makes for you guys on offense because he came in and just immediately contributed through the air.
Yeah, no doubt. Tom is a great athlete. And, man, we are looking for any advantage that we can get. We kind of used Tom. It was good for him to have that cast on his foot. And he really was feeling fresh and healthy when he got that taken off, and we immediately inserted him into our game plan on both sides of the ball. That wasn't really a new play or what he kept scoring on was just a wrinkle that we had, and he ran a great route and been through a great ball, and we knew that we were probably going to get the coverage that we had seen on film and those formations. And it was a good job by Coach McDaniel just putting that together and attacking that space on the field that was open. And Tom made a play, man. And when he caught the ball, he actually outran the safety to the end zone. Did a good job of that. And it was great to have him back. That's for sure.
He had a couple other big time catches I think just one other. He had 4 catches for almost 200 yards. Of course, 3 of them went for touchdowns. He had another long catch from Caleb Perry, and you guys kind of emptied the chamber on some things, kind of trying to get back into that ball game in the fourth quarter. And one of them was kind of a pitch back to Caleb Perry, who threw the ball down the field. And I'll tell you what, Max Gross, who I know you've met, he's our assistant sports director, he had said that he was the Doggers' backup quarterback last year. And that doesn't surprise me because, man, that kid has a gun. That was a beautifully thrown football from a wide receiver. Lots of times you put those kids in those spots and they end up making a mistake, or they throw a ball when you shouldn't throw one. And they actually kept some pretty good coverage on Tom on the far sideline, but man, he threaded that thing right over his shoulder. It was beautiful.
Yeah, he threw a great ball, and it was just a little toss, toss back to him. He was in a tailback position, and he pulled up and threw it over the top and did make a great ball. Caleb is a gamer, man. I love him and how he plays. He's a Friday night player. I reluctantly put him back there to return punts in the first game of the season against Claremore, and was just scared to death. And I told him, "Hey, if it's close, if you don't like it, just wave it off and get out of the way of the thing." And he comes charging up and catches the first one and made about 3 guys miss and got 10 or 11 yards. And I thought, okay, this kid can play a little bit. So he's definitely a Friday night type of a kid.
And he's just a sophomore. And we talked about all the kids that you've got him for 2 more seasons after this one. And obviously he's a big time athlete. You can get him the ball somewhere with some space, and he's got a chance to make several guys miss every time.
We are excited about a lot of kids. And, honestly, Coach McDaniel and I and Coach Munoz have been talking, and we kind of adjusted our offensive scheme a little bit to fit the kids that we have this year and just our personnel. We knew we wanted to be able to feature DeAndre just from what he did in the spring, and so our offense has looked a little bit different than we actually anticipated that it would, just in terms of certain formations and personnel that we use. We're excited for next year just because we feel like we have some kids that were younger at the beginning of the season that weren't quite ready for some of those key roles that now are perfect fits for the exact offensive scheme that we want to run. It won't be a ton different, but you'll notice a little bit of a change, and it's something we've been really successful with over the years, and we're excited Caleb is going to fit into one of those pieces that we weren't able to use this year, I think.
I was glad you mentioned DeAndre Young. It's kind of weird to say that Muskogee did a pretty good job on him when he had like 160 yards, but that's been the kind of season he's had. When he's not going off for 200, I would guess if you asked Rafe Watkins, he was pretty pleased with how they did against him. I was really impressed with the Ruffers' defensive line, and that kind of gave you guys a little bit of trouble. He wasn't able to kind of tick off those 15, 20, 30-yard runs with consistency like he had throughout the whole rest of the season, and that was one of the reasons why you relied a little bit on those big pass plays to Tom Beard in order to score.
Sure, teams have played us like that a lot throughout the season. They've loaded the box up, committed to stopping the run, and then they've tried to just play man coverage or some form of with just as few DBs on the field as possible. Muskogee did the same thing. That just is a credit to DeAndre and how solid of a runner he is. He's running into consistently into seven man boxes, which the numbers a lot of times they throw it and we run it anyways, just because we know a kid like that can still make something happen, make a guy miss or put his shoulder down. But that's something that opened up some of the downfield throws that we had the other night. Is just they had so many in the box, and then we're starting to have kids as the season has progressed that have stepped up and really made big plays, big catches down the field. We're getting ready to talk to a young man that's done that and has gotten better every week since we started, in Jalen Oliver here in just a few minutes. But our receiving core has really stepped up and really improved over the course of the year, made some great catches, and we trust throwing the ball, honestly, down the field a lot more right now than we did in the early parts of the season. So that's a testament to D that, he's still running the ball well when they've got the box stacked, and it's a testament to our receivers, being able to win on one-on-one coverage.
Yeah, and you talked about the wide receivers getting better. That was one of the kind of storylines going into 2018. I think Tom Beard was the only guy who had a catch coming back from last year in the wide receiving core. I think he had one reception for -1 yards last year. You're going to have more than one reception returning now for 2019. So it's got to be a good feeling for you and for Ben Winters as well. So.
Yeah, absolutely. And to go along with that, Ben Winters has kind of came out of nowhere as well. I listened to a radio interview before I got hired, and it was just talking about, the quarterback. I don't remember if it was you or somebody was talking about the team, and I was trying to do my research, about our about the team that I was considering coming and taking over. Man, they talked about the quarterback position and just the uncertainty there and what was, what the future held for that. I remember that pretty vividly and just thinking we've got to find a kid that was one of my number one priority. We've got to find a guy that can throw the ball down the field, and Ben has done a really, really good job of that this year. I've been really proud of him. He has really gotten himself out of his comfort zone, I guess is the best word. He's kind of a quiet, mild-mannered kid, and even today I looked over at Coach Munoz. We were in our huddle, and our practices have still been really up-tempo. I've been proud of that too. Our kids have worked really hard this week, even without that playoff picture in mind. Just again, it goes back to our get 10% better this week. I'm proud of that, and that's gonna catapult our program on into the future as well. But I looked over at Coach Munoz and just listening to Ben call the play in the huddle, and he his voice was louder, and he really looked like he was controlling that. And I said, man, he's come a long way, just even in the way he carries himself, the way he talks, hadn't he? And Coach Moon said, oh yeah, absolutely, he has. We're proud of that.
Yeah, you could see it in the way that he threw the ball. I can remember when you guys had Edison and East Central into Custer Stadium for that scrimmage. Oh, it was the second scrimmage back there, and I guess it was mid to late August. And he threw a couple really good balls to Shane Simpson. And then when he came out and played a little bit against Collinsville, and maybe even the next week, I guess that was Del City in those back-to-back ball games, you saw a couple of those throws, but he looked a little bit just kind of unsure and uncomfortable back there. And then for whatever reason, I always kind of felt like it was Booker T. Washington. I know that wasn't a loss, and the offense didn't particularly put up a ton of points in that game, but he just looked a lot more comfortable against the the Hornets. And then since that point on, it's almost like something slapped into place, and all of a sudden he's just exploded ever since that Booker T game.
His confidence has gone up, and that's the thing. I think I said that. I remember in earlier interviews this year, man, it's the only way to get used to being in the fire is being put in the fire, and he got tossed out there. And, you know, early in the year, too, I mean – it really goes back to the job that Coach McJunkins has done, and Coach Robert Clark, our two receiver coaches, just getting our kids. We talk about Dell City week three, and we've got a couple of receivers. We've got three. We've got Gerald Gray and Jalen Oliver and Nick Tessier, who didn't play football last year. Yeah. And some of those guys have not played football since youth ball, and there's two Division I corners out there that they're running routes against, and we're not having much success just getting off the line and getting open and they've really just improved in just those little details that people don't really even notice, just foot fire and how to avoid press coverage and get yourself open and use your hands and seeing your catch and you know being able to catch the football with your eyes. Those are little details that even though the average football fan doesn't look. They just see a guy. You know, the quarterback throws a bad ball, but the receiver a lot of times has some responsibility in that as well. So I'm proud of our guys that have just made themselves better this year. Our plan has worked. It just hasn't always shown on the scoreboard. It will. I promise you, it will in the future.
And Nick Tessier, another guy that's been really big for you in the receiving game, and he's another junior. So another guy. You
absolutely.
Know, I think two of your top three wide receivers. I guess now that I just eyeball it in my head, and of course Shane Simpson and Nick Tessier will be back. You'll lose Tom Beard, who, as we just talked about, ended up being big in the receiving game this year. But those guys will be back along with Caleb Perry, Ben Winters, obviously, Lake and Cloudus. But like I said, we'll have a lot of time to talk about 2019 here. Over the next few months, as we talk Bruin football with Bartlesville head football coach Lee Blankenship, Hideaway Pizza, downtown Bartlesville. Talk Bruin football all season long from 6 until 7 o'clock. Appreciate everyone coming out and tuning in throughout the season. We'll come back after our first break and have our player profile interview with Jalen Oliver, senior wide receiver. Had a couple touchdown catches a couple of weeks ago against Ponca City. We'll talk to him about that and his progression throughout 2018 as he came out for football for the first time, did a heck of a job. And then, of course, we'll preview Bartlesville and Shawnee, 7:30 kickoff on Friday, Bruins and the Wolves right here on K1. So we'll take a break. We'll come back, and we'll have our player profile interview with Jalen Oliver. You're listening to the Lee Blankenship Show on 1400 AM, K1, and FM 93.3.
What makes Dungy's Family of Autos different? It's our world-famous $9.95 oil change.
We have daily market-based pricing on a great selection of new and used vehicles.
You get a complimentary 7-year, 100,000-mile, nationwide, limited warranty with the purchase of any new Toyota, Ford, or Lincoln.
VIP appointments, where everything's ready for you when you come in for your test drive.
You get friendly people ready to help.
See what the Dungy's difference means for you.
OK Federal Credit Union is open to anyone that lives, works, or worships in Washington, Osage, or Nowata counties. Being a Bartlesville-based credit union since 1955, they know their members. OK Federal Credit Union has checking accounts with no monthly fee and actually pays you a dividend as long as your balance stays over $400. With competitive rates for cars, boats, RVs, and more, OK Federal Credit Union will make your dreams a reality. Stop by and join OK Federal Credit Union today at 3900 Southeast Adams Road or visit their website at okfcu.org. OK Federal Credit Union. They want to be your credit union.
Hideaway. This isn't heaven, but it's as close as we could get with a pizza pie.
007 Michael Ball is awesome. One posted hashtag meatball hero sandwich emoji with sunglasses. Hashtag om nom 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 nom. Hideaway Pizza. Hashtag. Seriously, great pizza.
Hideaway. In Owosso, 12903 East 96th Street North. In Bartlesville, 100 Southwest Frank Phillips Boulevard.
Success is influenced by the choices you make today. Wishful thinking won't get you there, but taking charge of your future will. Last year, our average adult graduate earned over $18 per hour. Make the choice to enroll at Tri-County Tech, where successful futures are built by driven students and instructors who challenge them to be the best they can be. Be bold at Tri-County Tech. Visit tricountytech.edu for more information.
Cloudy and chilly weather covering much of southeastern Kansas and northeastern Oklahoma. We have some rain in eastern Oklahoma. That should stay pretty much confined to that area and into Arkansas. As we look at tonight, it'll be chilly. Low temperatures dropping down to near 40. And the winds will be out of the north at about 10 to 18 miles per hour. So bundle up tonight. For tomorrow, look for skies to be partly cloudy to cloudy. Chance of showers across northeast Oklahoma. Most of southeast Kansas should stay dry with temperatures struggling, but we should manage about 52 to 55. As we extend the forecast into Friday, we'll have some morning clouds and sunshine in the afternoon. High temperatures climbing up to near 57. Saturday looks good, but we do have a 20% chance of showers Saturday night into Sunday morning again. From News on 6, I'm Chief Meteorologist Travis Meyer.
I'm Dave Hunziker, and you've got the Bruins, Cardinals, Cowboys, and more on K1 AM 1400 and FM 93.3.
Welcome back to Hideaway Pizza. Evan Farbach, Bartlesville head football coach Lee Blankenship. It's the Lee Blankenship Show on 1400 AM, K1, FM 93.3. It's time for a player profile segment. We've got Bartlesville senior wide receiver Jalen Oliver with us. Jalen, good evening. Thanks for coming on. How's it going, sir?
Good. How about you?
Well, I'm hanging in there. First year coming out for football. And, you know, Coach had mentioned this last week, and I hadn't really thought about this that much. But a couple weeks ago, you play at home against Ponca City, and you score a couple touchdowns. And I would guess even if you hadn't scored those couple touchdowns, you probably don't regret that decision at all, do you? You had a lot of fun. You got to trounce into the end zone as a senior, have all those people cheering behind you and the band and stuff. That had to be a pretty kind of fulfilling moment for you after having not come out before and deciding to come out for your senior season. Is that right?
Yes, sir. It was just weird to me because I didn't know where to give the ball to the ref at. I was trying to meet him somewhere. I didn't know where to go.
Now, you're supposed to spike that baby right into the ground, right?
No.
Is it no? Oh, okay. Are they not allowing you to do that in high school? I don't know what the rules are for the celebrations. Probably don't get a whole lot of leeway in high school football, yeah. I would guess.
It's got to be a 65-yard or over.
Oh, okay.
Touchdown reception before you can legally spike.
They ought to let everybody do all the synchronized celebrations. Let them all have fun. But anyway, it was nice to see Jalen Oliver get into the end zone a couple of times. Jalen, you had a heck of a season, and I know Coach and I were talking about this last week, but just in the way you kind of carry yourself on the field, you look more like a football player now than maybe you did in the spring. I think in the spring you looked like a basketball player that was running routes and catching the ball, but the last several weeks you kind of looked like a football player out there catching the football. Do you feel like there's been a difference kind of as you've gone the last 9-10 weeks or so into the season in your progression as a wide receiver?
I got my technique back like from when I used to play, and I got my natural flow back into the game, and everything started coming back natural and more natural. And Coach Blankenship always kept telling me, he was like, you're gonna be a player, you're gonna make plays night in, night out, and eventually I started doing it.
And obviously you made those couple of catches against Ponca City, but aside from that, you made some big catches as well. Just how fun has it been to be back on the football field? Kind of walk me through the decision to come back up until now. How's it been for you?
It's been a good decision. Every now and then it got shaky. It was just like because my main sport is basketball, so playing basketball and then transferring to football again, it was just a weird experience because all that contact is way different than basketball. So getting used to that, getting hit again, and then I just found the love for it again.
Now, I'll tell you, Jalen says that, but on the eastern half of the state, we play a pretty physical brand of basketball there in that Frontier Valley Conference. You're going to get bodied up pretty good.
No doubt.
You never noticed that, Jalen, that when you go and you play in Oklahoma City, that they call all those touch fouls more often? They don't let anybody touch anybody down there in Oklahoma City. But you go to Tulsa, you guys bang against each other. You know, Muskogee, all those kids, you guys have battled a little bit.
Yeah, you got to come with it against Muskogee. They get all in your shorts. They don't care who you are.
Jalen Oliver, senior wide receiver with us, our player profile tonight.
I cannot wait. Sorry to cut you off there. I cannot wait to watch this young man on the basketball floor this year. Watch how physical he is. Football is that's something I've always noticed, man. I love when those basketball guys come in and play some football. It helps them their game a little bit. He's gonna be down there banging in the post, getting some boards this year.
Yeah, that'll be good. Jalen's a big tall guy. He's a bigger guard Frontier Valley Conference, so looking forward to that. But obviously, you got one more football game. Things didn't end up how you'd like to against Muskogee, but how do you feel like you guys have bounced back the last week or so? Obviously, you still got a chance to win four games, finish close to 500, and really kind of pass the torch on to 2019 on a positive note. How do you feel like everyone's responded the last couple of days?
I feel like we responded well. I think it was the main part with the coaches, because the coaches could have easily came in and been down, but they jumped on us and kept our energy up, and they didn't never let us get down. So that turned us around, so we built our energy back up. But it should always start with the players instead of the coaches, but they did a good job of doing that.
Let's talk about Jalen Oliver off the field. Obviously, you're a big-time basketball guy. What do you do for fun when you're not playing football?
In the gym, working on basketball.
There you go. They shooting some threes and stuff?
Yes, sir.
You excited for the basketball season?
Yes, sir.
Basketball team's going to be pretty good, don't you think?
Yes, sir.
I think so, too. I'm excited for that. And, of course, Jalen, one of the leading returning scorers in that club. And Shane Simpson's another one of your fellow wide receivers, who, of course, is the starting guard for the Bruin basketball team. You guys have Ty Odina back and a few others, too. Tom Beard, another guy who's going to play basketball. So there's a lot of football names that you'll recognize on the basketball court. That thing's going to start here pretty quick, isn't it?
Yes, sir.
You're not going to have too much of a off period there, are you?
No. Scrimmage coming up pretty soon, right?
Yes, sir. This Saturday. We'll be back at it Monday. I'll go straight back to practice.
There we go. Well, that'll be good for you, right? Yeah. What do you want to do when you're all wrapped up here in May?
I'm about to probably go play college basketball. That's my intention to go do.
So you're just going to try to work this year, going through that whole recruiting thing and end up somewhere?
Yes, sir.
Favorite TV shows, movies? What does Jalen Oliver like to consume media-wise?
My favorite TV show would probably have to be Tom and Jerry.
Tom and Jerry, that's a good one. Maybe it's some good cartoons. Somebody else said some old Looney Tunes that they liked earlier also. I can't remember who that was now. Favorite movies?
My favorite movie would probably have to be Pirates of the Caribbean.
All right, the original?
Yep, yes, sir.
You should have nice. Dressed up as a Jack Sparrow or something for Halloween.
I stopped trick-or-treating when I was 13.
All right, well, that's a good age. Now, what was your favorite Halloween get-up there as you were a kid?
Scream.
Scream? All right, that's an easy one. That was a good old mask to wear.
Yes.
Jalen Oliver with this player profile this evening. Final game against Muskogee. How nice would it be just to kind of put a cherry on top of this thing with a victory?
It would be very nice just to come in into Shawnee's home and just dominate them and just make sure we do everything right, keep our energy up, and just go get another win and end the season off right.
Make yourself a couple more memories getting the end zone, all right?
Yep, it's going to stay with me forever.
Jalen Oliver, senior wide receiver. Jalen, thanks for joining us tonight, all right?
No problem.
Jalen Oliver, we'll see him on the basketball court upcoming here in just a couple weeks right here on K1. Looking forward to that as well. We'll take a break. We'll come back. We'll preview the Shawnee Wolves, Bartlesville and Shawnee, final game of the 2018 campaign coming up on Friday night. 7:30 kickoff. Don't forget the game has been moved back 30 minutes. 7:30 kickoff right here on K1 with a 7 o'clock pregame. We'll take a break, come back, and have some more Lee Blankenship Show. You're listening to coverage of Bartlesville football on 1400 AM, K1, and FM 93.3.
What makes Dungeon's family of autos different? It's our world-famous $9.95 oil change.
We have daily market-based pricing on a great selection of new and used vehicles.
You get a complimentary 7-year, 100,000-mile, nationwide, limited warranty with the purchase of any new Toyota, Ford, or Lincoln.
VIP appointments, where everything's ready for you when you come in for your test drive.
You get friendly people ready to help.
See what the Dungeon's difference means for you.
OK Federal Credit Union is open to anyone that lives, works, or worships in Washington, Osage, or Nowata counties. Being a Bartlesville-based credit union since 1955, they know their members. OK Federal Credit Union has checking accounts with no monthly fee and actually pays you a dividend as long as your balance stays over $400. With competitive rates for cars, boats, RVs, and more, OK Federal Credit Union will make your dreams a reality. Stop by and join OK Federal Credit Union today at 3900 Southeast Adams Road or visit their website at okfcu.org. OK Federal Credit Union. They want to be your credit union.
Hideaway. This isn't heaven, but it's as close as we could get with a pizza pie.
Shauna Dene posted, hashtag to bomb, hashtag pineapple goes on pizza, hashtag pizza is love, hashtag pizza is life. Hideaway Pizza, hashtag seriously, great pizza.
Hideaway. In Owosso, 12903 East 96th Street North. In Bartlesville, 100 Southwest Frank Phillips Boulevard.
What does it mean to be bold? At Tri-County Tech, it means designing your future. It means showing up, taking the risk, being courageous, and believing in your dreams. At Tri-County Tech, successful futures are built by driven students and instructors that challenge them to be the best that they can be. Last year, our adult graduates averaged over $18 per hour. Be bold at Tri-County Tech. Visit tricountytech.edu for more information.
What makes Dungeon's family of autos different? It's our world-famous 995 oil change.
We have daily market-based pricing on a great selection of new and used vehicles.
You get a complimentary 7-year, 100,000-mile, nationwide, limited warranty with the purchase of any new Toyota, Ford, or Lincoln.
VIP appointments, where everything's ready for you when you come in for your test drive.
You get friendly people ready to help.
See what the Dungeon's difference means for you.
Cloudy and chilly weather covering much of southeastern Kansas and northeastern Oklahoma. We have some rain in eastern Oklahoma. That should stay pretty much confined to that area and into Arkansas. As we look at tonight, it'll be chilly. Low temperatures dropping down to near 40. And the winds will be out of the north at about 10 to 18 miles per hour. So bundle up tonight. For tomorrow, look for skies to be partly cloudy to cloudy. Chance of showers across northeast Oklahoma. Most of southeast Kansas should stay dry with temperatures struggling, but we should manage about 52 to 55. As we extend the forecast into Friday, we'll have some morning clouds and sunshine in the afternoon. High temperatures climbing up to near 57. Saturday looks good, but we do have a 20% chance of showers Saturday night into Sunday morning again. From News on 6, I'm Chief Meteorologist Travis Meyer.
Welcome back to Hideaway Pizza. You're listening to the Lee Blankenship Show, 1400 AM K1 FM 93.3. Same station for the broadcast on Friday night. Once again, Bartlesville and Shawnee will hook up at 7:30 Friday evening. I know we talked about this a little bit earlier on the program. This is Shawnee's first game back in 6A since the 2010-2011 season. And I had mentioned this a little bit earlier. I was wrong when I was talking off the top of my head. Shawnee went 11-1 in 2009, and you were right. That's a program that had a lot of success in the mid to late 2000s under their current head coach. Billy Brown's been their head coach for 15 seasons now. Yep. They went 11-1 in 2009, and then they got bumped up to 6A, which, of course, back in 2010, that was Jinx, Broken Arrow, Union, all the – there was no 6A2 back then. They came back the next year, and they won two games. They went 4-16 the next two seasons. So
yep.
That was a program that really struggled a little bit once it got bumped up to 6A. But they're having some success this season, 2-4 in district play, tied with Bartlesville and Sand Springs for that fifth spot in the district. They're 2-7 overall, played a pretty tough non-district. Carl Albert, Guthrie, and Choctaw, obviously, two of those three are two of the more perennial powerhouse programs in the state of Oklahoma. But a Wolf team, which, as you mentioned, on paper, probably pretty similar to you all. They have a returning quarterback and going to show how tough this district is versus maybe 5A, which was kind of my theme earlier. Their starting quarterback, Heath Hunter, he has thrown for 1,700 yards, which is a pretty good number, but he threw for 2,700 yards last year as a starter for them in Class 5A and a team that won seven games. So they've got some guys coming back that have had a lot of success.
No doubt. They've got some playmakers. Hunter, the quarterback, man, he throws a nice deep ball. He really seems to like to toss that thing down the yard and throws a really good ball. We feel like we match up with them well. They're huge up front. That's something I'm sure you'll always jump the gun on you. They're big up front. He's got a great looking offensive line in front of him to provide the protection. So, yeah, he's a good player.
Yeah, that's their returning quarterback. As I mentioned, 10 touchdowns, 15 interceptions. So he'll yak it down there a little bit. They don't run the ball quite as well as a lot of other teams that Bartlesville has played. Seems like you guys have played a lot of either dual threat quarterback teams or teams that just completely jam it down other squads' throats. This week it's kind of a little bit more of a 50-50 type of offense, and their leading running back, Trey Shaw, only 637 yards. He's played in all nine games. He's their starting running back, so don't have a 1,000-yard rusher. Their quarterback is their second leading rusher, but only has like 150, 200 yards. Yeah. So it's going to be going to look like a backfield that's somewhat similar to you all, but obviously you guys probably have a little bit of an advantage at the tailback spot, and that'll be fun and obviously a little bittersweet to see DeAndre Young play his final game in a Bruin uniform
sure.
on Friday.
Absolutely, it will be. We DeAndre is a special player, and they don't come around all the time. You know, their running back Shaw is a he runs hard. He's a pretty tough little runner. Pretty athletic. He really finds the hole and hits that hard. For some reason, I was under the impression that he did not play in the first couple of games, but my information might be wrong.
Had high school stats, or who knows? Yeah, it said 9 games on the thing, but that doesn't mean anything. Talking with Bartlesville head football coach Lee Blankenship here. Shawnee, 32-23, last 5 years. Talked about the fact that they've been at 5A for all of that. Went 7-4, lost in the first round of the playoffs a season ago. But it's a program that's been at the playoffs for the last 5 years. It was them and Del City. Those were the two teams that got bumped up to 6A2 this year. And it's an interesting spot for them because I think that one of them, I think it was Shawnee, would have been 5A, but I think Capitol Hill is still not competing in 6A2 football, so
yep.
they had to actually bump up a 5A team. So regarding the kind of historical struggles with them moving from 5 to 6A, I could tell just by reading a few of the articles from the newspaper that people really they had some whiplash from that 6A bump, so they're going to have to do that for the next couple of years. And I also still find it very interesting that for some reason they're in the East Side District and Stillwater's in the West. How that makes any sense, I will never know.
Yeah, it is.
Shawnee's a lot closer to Oklahoma City than Bartlesville, isn't that right? Is that accurate?
Yeah, way closer than Bartlesville.
That was a sarcastic question. Yes, I'm pretty sure that it is. I think that they'd be better off playing Del City and Lawton than Bartlesville and Ponca.
That was an interesting, you know, the way they did that district. I've been trying to figure that out
as
well.
Not that I'm particularly complaining. I think this year we'd probably rather have Shawnee than Stillwater, obviously.
Sure.
The Pioneers are undefeated.
Well, and they do take that into account. Maybe that was something to do with it.
Maybe so, as we preview that Bruins-Wolves game on Friday. What would it kind of mean to you all just to wrap this thing up with a win? Obviously, playoff-wise, it doesn't matter for that, but you're still playing for quite a bit. 4 wins looks a lot better than 3.
Sure.
It's a program that only won 1 game on paper last year, even though we all know Bartlesville really won 2 games last year, had a silly ineligible player type deal for that McAllister game. But that would kind of put a cherry on top, I think, of what you'd have to call a successful season, win or lose on Friday, and maybe propel you. Does that give you some momentum?
You know, of course it does. Just going into the off season with your last one being a W, certainly. Certainly would give our kids a good taste in their mouth, and man, the more we can experience success, especially with our young kids, that you know, that we've got to get our kids to a point where they expect it, not where they hope we can get it or where we want to have it, but where they expect to have it. They expect to win, and that's just going to come with getting some of them. The more we can have that success, the more that mindset's going to start to appear.
You mentioned young kids getting a win. I wanted to point this out in the opening segment, and we didn't get to it. I know you had tweeted from a third grade game last night.
Yeah.
There's a group of elementary school YMCA Bruins who are playing in the Indian Nations League and having a ton of success. And I watched, I'm Facebook friends with Ty Kent, who I think his son is one of the quarterbacks in that team. And they posted some videos on Facebook, and I was watching. They got some kids that are running around out there, man. That's some serious stuff at third grade football.
Listen, that third grade team can go. I was actually counting down. Okay, let's see. It's going to be a few years until they get up to me. But man, that's a group that definitely keep them together and get them up to the varsity. And my goodness, I'll be really excited when that little team is a big team and they're playing for us. Hey, they threw the ball well.
Yeah.
They ran it well. It was a lot of fun to go out and watch them last night. And they were gracious. They let me say a few words to the kids. It's really been important to me to try to get involved in our youth programs. We can always do a better job of that, and our coaching staff. But man, this is something that my mindset is to be here for the long term and to try to turn and make a program, not just a winning season, but a real program that is consistently successful. And that starts in those younger grades.
And some of that obviously is I think that maybe something I didn't even realize until recently when you look at a varsity head football coach. It's got to be relationship building, getting to meet those kids and their parents and have them know you. And so that way when they're in high school 7-8 years from now, I don't know how long that's going to be, a long time, whenever they're in high school, I guess it's 6 years, 9 minus 3 is 6. So 6 years when they're here, that they know who you are and you know who they are. And it probably makes a little bit of a difference versus if you had no contact with them up until they showed up at some meeting when they're ninth graders.
Listen, you have to assume that it will make a difference, and I'm okay with that. We don't know, but my goodness, if there's even a chance that it'll get more kids in our program and some excitement in our community about the game of football and about Bruin football, then I'm more than willing to go and watch an exciting third grade game out on our field. I was really, really proud of our kids, and man, they played so hard. They came out and listen, hey, that's a group that's won a lot of games. If we can get the culture of football and just that expectation in youth ball, then that's not something we have to try to create when they get to high school. That'll already be instilled. So, ton of kudos to that coaching staff and those dads that are working with their boys. I saw some good fundamental football being played. I saw a lot of encouragement. I saw a lot of, even in the middle of the game, some character lessons being taught. Man, it made me really proud and excited about our future.
Bartlesville head football coach Lee Blankenship with us. Final edition of the Lee Blankenship Show here on K1. Once again, Bartlesville going to play Shawnee to wrap up the 2018 season on Friday night. 7:30 kickoff, 7 o'clock pregame right here on K1. Anything in particular you want to see from your guys on Friday to kind of wrap this thing up, other than a win? Anything specifically you've been working on that you want to see?
You know, just an improvement. We've got so many things we can improve on, even in week 10. But more than anything, just the fight. It's something that I've been proud of our kids on all year long. They've never given up. They've continued to fight. That game could have ended last week a lot closer than it was. But just my mindset, man. I just assume lose by 40 and trying to win, then give up and lose by 14, if that makes any sense. So we're going to stay aggressive, and we try to model that to our kids. We're going to continue to take shots. If we got to pull out everything, like you said, in the arsenal, the trick plays, go for it on fourth down, fake punt, those are things that I want our kids to see in me and in their coaching staff. We're going to be aggressive, and we're going to fight to the bitter end, and you can still take a lot of pride in yourself and hold your head up high when you know that you battled the whole time. And that's what I want to see from our kids, just to finish strong. Jalen kind of mentioned it in his little piece, man. The kids, I think on Monday they were unsure what to expect. It was the first practice which is great, week 10, to be able for them to come out, and that's the only week we have to go through that we know we're probably not going to be in the playoffs. And I think they were kind of curious or wondered how our coaching staff was going to respond to that. And we worked their tails. I mean, it's not about anybody but us and us getting better. And that's what I just want to see from them on Friday night, the fight and the finish.
And you saw some of that against Muskogee as well, even in that fourth quarter. I think in the booth I had kind of resigned myself to maybe that game being over when you got down 16 with about 7 minutes left, but you had that kind of trick play pass to Tom. I think it was what set up that last score to Tom Beard, also through the air from Ben Winters. Regardless, you scored that ball to get within 10, and all of a sudden you're looking at it and you're thinking, man, if you get a two-point conversion, all of a sudden this is a one-score game. And boy, Tom Beard caught another pass on that two-point conversion that they said he was out of bounds on near that front far pylon. But had he gotten a foot in bounds, that's a 8-point game with 6 minutes left. You got
one
plenty of time.
Game. And we're going to onside. I mean, that's just the same, goes back to reiterate that mentality. We're never going to surrender. It's kind of, thinking back, I haven't really had a chance to we haven't really coached in a blowout game where we're the team that is, you know, that's ahead by a lot on the scoreboard. But one of the funnest things, one of the things that I've always stressed with my coaches is even when we're winning, even if it's our third team in there, we're going to coach our tails off and we're going to try to be aggressive and help get our kids better, get that through that experience and coach hard regardless of what the score is.
Want to thank everyone all season long for listening to this show and coming out and joining us. Wherever it may be, we'll have another edition of the Lee Blankenship Show next season. Of course, keep it tuned here to K1 AM 1400, FM 93.3, BartlesvilleRadio.com. We'll have a lot of coverage of the Bruins. Of course, we'll have the play-by-play Friday night at Shawnee for that 7:30 kickoff. But we'll have wrap-ups of the season and more interviews with Coach as we enter the off-season after next week. And, of course, we'll have a coach's show somewhere next year as well. But we appreciate everyone tuning in. I appreciate Trey Stump for running the board back there and keeping us on the air. Does a great job. He's one of the best board ops we have all season long. Appreciate our friends at Hideaway for keeping us well fed and great service and pizza throughout the season, and all the senior players and their parents who lend us them on Wednesday nights. And Coach, we appreciate you coming out here to talk with us and taking an hour or two out of your busy schedule to talk Bruin football so we can kind of get some information out to everyone in between the ball games. And had fun with you, and looking forward to continuing this in 2019 as well.
Yeah, absolutely, man. And just thankful for our fans, like you said, the listeners and everyone that comes out to support their kids on Friday nights. It's been a special atmosphere, especially at the home games this year, overwhelmed with the support, and just thankful for that. I want to thank everyone listening.
For Trey Stump, Bartlesville head football coach Lee Blankenship, I'm Evan Farbach, wishing you a pleasant Wednesday evening. We'll see you Friday night at Shawnee, 7 o'clock kickoff, 7:30. So, I beg your pardon, 7 o'clock pregame, 7:30 kickoff, Bruins and Wolves right here on K1. It's the final edition of the Lee Blankenship Show from Hideaway Pizza on 1400 AM and FM 93.3.